This morning we continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week we read the first 11 verses. Today we'll begin with verse 12 in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, would that make it any less of the body? And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, this morning may we engage our ears that we may hear your word. May we engage our brains that we may think through what is said. May we engage our hearts, Lord, that we may receive it with gladness and that let it change us. And then may we use our hands and feet to go from this place to live out your word to the world that awaits. And this morning, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, today is the final sermon in the series of New Beginnings that we started at the beginning of the new year. The first week, we talked about a new way, that when we have an encounter with Christ, we're called to go a new way, just as the Magi did when they encountered the newborn Christ. We also talked about the new name that we are given at baptism, beloved child of God, Christian, and how we spend our lives living into our new name. We talked about the new Spirit, that when we say yes to Christ, we are given the Holy Spirit as an indwelling Spirit in us, and that the Spirit has many functions, and one of which is to give us gifts for ministry. And so today we are going to talk about our new body, the new body that we become a part of when we say yes to Christ, and that is the body of Christ, the church. You see, we know that our relationship with Jesus, it is personal, but friends, it's never meant to be private. There is no such thing as a solo Christian. We are meant to live out our Christian life here in community as part of the body of Christ, accomplishing God's work through Christ in the world. Several years ago, when my kids, who are now quite grown, were teenagers, I really thought it would be a great thing during the laid-back Christmas season, when there was so much extra time, to start a family jigsaw puzzle. We'd start it, you know, sort of the beginning of Christmas break, and lay it out on a table. And my thought was, you know, when a family member, you know, has that extra time, you'd come and sit for a while peacefully, and it would be such a nice stress reducer and fill in the jigsaw puzzle. It was just such a beautiful plan. A couple of missed thoughts about that is, you know, when you're a preacher, the Christmas season isn't really all that low-key and not a lot of free time, and that's probably true for you too when your kids are at home. There's not a lot of free time. The other was I really didn't get much family buy-in into this particular family project. And so it was really me as I would walk past that puzzle and it would look at me and mock me and tell me I'm not finished yet. And instead of it being a source of relaxation, it really was quite a source of stress because it wasn't complete and I needed it to be complete. And so it didn't work for a couple of reasons. But as it got closer to being finished, I made the agonizing realization that there was at least one piece missing. And this was just not going to be a workout well for me. I wondered, did one of the pets swallow it and eat it? Did it get it knocked off the table and the vacuum cleaner pick it up? It was really agonizing. Well, that made me think about the church. You see, in the church, we have all the talents, all the knowledge, all the leadership, all the financial resources, all the spiritual gifts that we need. God has seen to that. We have everything that we need to accomplish all that God calls a church to do. The agony of that comes when we notice there might be some puzzle pieces missing. Unused talent, knowledge that stays hidden away, leadership that does not step forward, misplaced financial resources and unrealized spiritual gifts. And so this morning I want to give us some steps to go about putting that puzzle together for living together in a Christian community so that the body is built up and that others are drawn to Christ. So four steps to helping us with that puzzle. And so step number one is claim your gift. Claim your gift. Each person is unique and each person is important. We're told in Genesis chapter 1 that we are created in the image of God. In the image of God we were created. We are special. We're told in my favorite psalm, Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made." We are special and we are unique and we have been gifted uniquely. We're told in Scripture that to each person is given a gift of the Spirit. We have been gifted by the Spirit uniquely. Now, we have to discover those gifts. Often, those spiritual gifts don't come to us with an owner's manual of any sort. And often, it takes some trial and error to even sort of figure out maybe what those gifts are. We have to give ourselves permission to do that. Go try this. Is this where I best live out my call? Maybe not. Maybe it's over here. And so you give yourself this trial and error. Is it risky? Yeah, it's a little risky. You know, you might try something and not feel good about the results of that. You might try something and it not be a good fit, but it's worth the risk. It also requires faith. We have to believe that God is telling the truth when God says that we are given at least one spiritual gift. And so it behooves us to find out what that gift is and then to use it. There is an obstacle, however, to claiming our gift. And one of those obstacles is a competitiveness. You know, we are by nature, I think, pretty competitive people. Certainly here in our country, but I'm pretty sure it's a phenomenon of humanity and not just in our country. But you know, it starts as a baby. You know, your baby is way cuter than anybody else's baby, right? When you become a grandparent, I can say from experience, my grandchildren are smarter than any of your grandchildren. We compare ourselves to others all through our growing up time. We compare grades with each other. We compare where we stack up with our sort of physical abilities. We look at where we stack up with other people in our job or in our career, in our house, in our stuff. Right, we seem to always be comparing ourselves with other people. And when we come out well, you know, we feel pretty good about ourselves. And when we come out lacking in some way, we can feel kind of bad about ourselves. Now, I'm not against competition. I'm a pretty competitive person myself. But where competition has no place is right here. When that competitive spirit comes into the church and we're thinking that some gifts are better than others, or this person is better than me at this, so, you know, I'm just not going to try. Or I'm way holier and way more spiritual, you know, than they are. No harm intended. When we get into that spirit of competition in the church, it destroys the very community that we're called to build. We're called to remember, first of all, to claim our gift. I am a gift from God. So I'd like for you to say that out loud. I am a gift from God. Now I want you to turn to the people on your right and your left and tell them, I'm a gift from God. Now, other person can't argue. There's no arguing here. You just let it be. I am a gift from God, okay? All right, so that's step one. And here's step two. We honor the gifts of others. We honor the gifts of others. You see, sometimes our tendency, maybe if we're really honest, our hope, is that others are just like us. They come at the world the same way we do. They figure things out the same way we do. They want to participate the same way we do. They are a lot like us. Friends, that's called projection. When we take who we are and project it out onto somebody else and want them, need them, expect them to be just like we are, that's called projection. You know, God made each of us individually, and God has a wonderful plan for your life. Unfortunately, sometimes we're, as a spouse or as a parent or as a child or as a friend or as a coworker, we go, I am your wife, husband, I am your parent, I am your friend, and I have a wonderful plan for your life. We want them to live out our plan for their life. We want them to live in, but we need to honor the gifts of others. Remember Paul's words to the church in Corinth. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, to faith, to gifts of healing, to working of miracles, to prophecy. There are many gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and also in other places in the New Testament. And Paul reminds us that all of these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. You see, just as I am a gift from God, I am uniquely qualified and called and gifted with certain gifts, so are other people. So are other people. And so, here's what I want you to say this time. You are different from me, and that's good. You are different from me, and that's good. Oh, see, y'all just jumped right to step two. You were supposed to say that to me the first time. This is, okay, by 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm telling you, people are awake. And so you're jumping ahead. So now turn to those around you and say, you are different from me, and that's good. Okay, so we've said, I am a gift from God. And now we've said, you are different from me, and that's good. So now here's step three. Step three is to discover what it is your mission in life. What is your purpose? Those are the why questions. Why am I here? What is God's purpose for me? How can I, given who I am in my particular circumstances, live out my Christian mandate to love God and to love others? What is my purpose? Why am I here? Now, there are many things in our lives that help us to sort of find a sense of purpose, and many people find it in their chosen career, in their field of study, and it gives a sense of purpose, but I'm talking more ultimate purpose. Because it is possible to find a depth of meaning in what you do, but sometimes what you do is just what you do. Sometimes where you're called, your Christian vocational calling, is over here in this other area. And you need to find out, where am I called to be? What is my purpose? Where do I fit in? What is my mission? And you need to You need to know that there is a purpose for my life. So that's our next statement. There is a purpose for my life. Say that to me. Now say it to the people around you. There is a purpose for my life. Okay, now finally, step four. The church is called to unite in a common mission, with each person and each gift complementing each other, fitting together just like the jigsaw puzzle. And we need to be involved in a common purpose. And again, that's the why question. As a church, why are we here? What is our purpose? What is our work? So that we can work with that end in mind. Consider perhaps a factory assembly line worker who's working on an assembly line, and what their job is to take this widget and put it on that part. And they need to do that with an understanding of what the whole piece is designed to be. If you're working in a car plant and your job is to put the lug nuts on the wheel, then you know what? You do, that's an important job, by the way. And so you do that with the whole job in mind. Every piece of whatever you're making is important. You do that with what's in, the larger object is in mind. You do that on a sports team, right? Each individual player on a team knows that they are to use their gifts for the common goal. They are all about, so whether that's defense or offense, whether that's shooting baskets or getting the ball to the person who can shoot the baskets, you know, whether that's being a quarterback or protecting the quarterback, whatever it is that it is, every part is important, but it's important to keep in mind the bigger picture because you're serving something bigger. Same with like a home builder, right? Every single nail, every single piece of plywood, every shingle, everything is important with the big picture in mind. You are building something larger than yourself. Paul writes in here that it's the same with the body. I love this verse because it makes me laugh, because you can just sort of visualize it as Leanne did with the kids, and Ben was like, no, oh, that would be so funny. What if the whole body were an eye, right? I love that imagery, you know, or one foot, you know, and all you're doing is flopping along and not doing anything else. It is a very visual reminder that every single part of the body, the whole, is what's important, but that individually we're members of that. And we need to remember with the church, what is the product? At this church, we have lots of wonderful things happening. We have worship services, we have great small groups, we have fellowship groups, we have donuts on Sunday morning, we have, amen, yeah, we have greeters and we have ushers, we have mission outreaches. Why? Why? Why do we do those things? What is the purpose behind it? The mission of the church is making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And we need to keep that big purpose in mind. Here at this church, we've broken that into a vision statement of helping people take their next step with Jesus on the path of discipleship. And we say that happens best when we help people to connect and then to grow and then to go and take their faith out. We've got to keep that bigger picture of the why we do what we do, so that when we're enjoying the smaller things, we always are thinking, why do we do what we do? We have a common mission. Let's do it together. We have a common mission. Let's do it together. Now you can say it. We have a common mission. Let's do it together. Okay, tell the person to your right and your left. By the way, when I was working the puzzle at my house all those years ago, I did eventually find the missing puzzle piece. All was right again with my world. And it made a beautiful picture when the puzzle was complete. You were given a puzzle piece when you came in here this morning. And that is to remind you that every piece, every person, every gift is important if we want the beautiful picture that Christ is building through this, our church. If you look in your bulletin on the Connect, Grow, Go section, you'll see the picture of the puzzle that was taken from. And Jesus is sitting and looking out, and you see sort of the disciples in a boat in the background and sitting by the Sea of Galilee. And knowing that you have a piece to the puzzle is to remind you that you have a place in the body of Christ. But if we want that to be a beautiful picture, if we want it to be one that draws other people into this beautiful mess that we call the church, that we may be about the work of Christ, every single piece is important, and you're invited to hang on to that piece as a reminder. Edward Everett Hale is credited with saying, "I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. The something that I ought to do, I can do. And by the grace of God, I will." May it be so for us. May it be so for the church. Let us pray. Holy God, Lord, help us this morning to find our place with our gifts and our personality and our deepest needs and our greatest abilities in your church, that we may grow into a beautiful body of Christ that is about the work of making disciples of Jesus Christ. And we will give you all the thanks and all the glory. Amen.